Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group can be found on the web, tqag.com. But let's welcome them in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are things in sunny Florida?
Sunnier and hotter.
Yeah, with a mix of rain.
We've been getting rain off and on and stuff like that, but we had a nice quiet week after the week and a half before that, so we've been enjoying the past week and a half without tornadoes and tropical storms. It's the stuff you guys normally get down there.
Well, last night we had an event in this. I was walking the dogs, and the sky. There was thunder and lightning all over the place, and the sky was very black at one point, and I could have sworn that I had what looked like it might have been a funnel cloud, but it was up in the sky, and it was going horizontal.
Yeah.
to the ground. So I thought, no, that just must be a cloud formation, but. Nevertheless, your mind goes to DEFCON 5 when you see something like that in that kind of weather. So I cut the walk short and got in just before the skies opened up.
Downpour.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Back when I was walking with my trainer years ago before my surgery, we checked the radar before we went out. We have a 2-mile walk, right? Which normally, at the one point, we could do that with 18 minutes, which was fantastic for me. He would really beat me up. Slow for everybody else, but fast for me. But we were about halfway into it when all of a sudden a thunderstorm actually formed right over us. And I want to tell you, there was no place to hide.
Oh, damn. Oh.
And still had a mile and a half to get back to coverage.
I have a very quick weather story about that. It's sort of a similar event. Before I met Tim and I was still living in New York, I was training for the Marine Corps Marathon. And I belonged to a running group in New York. And I used to like to go out in the summertime and run in the rain because it would cool you off as you were running. And so I was in training and I was running through Central Park. And all of it started raining. Oh, this feels so good. And I got about 3/4 way done with the run and still raining. And all of a sudden, I heard this enormous thunderclap, and there was a flash that came. It was a delayed flash, and it was so loud that I have to admit I peed myself just a little. It scared me so bad, and I turned around and looked, and about 75 yards behind me, lightning had hit a tree, and the tree exploded, and it scared me so bad that that's the last time I ever ran in the rain.
Smart.
That was it for me.
Smart move. You know, in life, it's funny. We start off not being able to control being. We go through a period where we can control, but then we get ready for where we are now, Greg, and once again, we have to be careful.
Yeah, getting old ain't for sissies, as Betty Davis used to say.
That's exactly right. Well, what's new on the auction front? Any more stories that can make us thrilled that somebody got $1 million or not?
Well, Tim has one that we're going to follow up on, but I just have to say one thing. Let me just say that the appraisal guys and the dream crushers have struck again, yet again. You know, last week I told you about the lady who had piece that I finally had to just tell her it wasn't worth anything. I got another one from, and this is actually kind of interesting. Do you remember Disney's River Country at Disney World?
Oh, sure.
It was, yeah. Well, it was the first water park in Disney, and it opened in 1976, and it closed in 2001, and there were a couple of deaths there. One of them was because it was fresh water. It was supposed to be like a Huckleberry Island, Huckleberry Finn Island. Anyway, a gentleman sent me a photograph of, he said, I have a flag that I bought from there. And I thought, okay, so it's probably like a pair of Mickey Mouse ears, you know, and so it's probably a little tiny souvenir flag. So he says, no, I think I misrepresented it. And so he sent it the photo, and it was a four by three flag that, and he sent me a photo of it flying over the dock of the Disney's River Country. Well, you know, that does kind of make a difference. However, in doing some research, we found out that even so, it's still not going to be significant. It'll be more significant to a Disney collector than one of those little souvenir flags, but it's still not going to be significant enough that he's going to be able to retire and on the Riviera. So that's my job this morning, is to notify him that although I appreciate the photograph and the clarification, unfortunately, it's not going to make that much difference. So, you know, there again.
But that's the great thing of the service. I mean, everybody who has things in their house that, especially if they've collected them themselves and held on to them, or if they come from a family where they've always been around furniture and always been around this, everybody thinks their stuff is going to be the stuff that brings in tons and tons and tons of money. And there's got to be some realistic balance out there to let people know. No, I mean, you hear about this all the time, but it doesn't happen that way all the time. It just doesn't.
I know. In his defense, though, he was very realistic in the original email. He says, I realize that I probably don't really have anything, and it's probably not worth as much as I think it's worth. But I just wanted to find out. It was an exercise for him, I think, more in just trying to find out what he should do with it and what the best way to, if he's going to sell it on eBay, what to put on it. And you know, something like this, a Disney collector, because it is not a souvenir flag, it's actually a piece of the island.
Yeah.
So it is going to be much more desirable to a Disney collector from that point of view. So I don't think he's going to be exactly too disappointed, but not nearly as disappointed as the lady last week. So I guess I'm making progress.
Well, no death threats, please, when the disappointment comes. All right, what do you have for us, Tim?
Yeah, so I have more sneakers. So I know you love this, Marshall, is that we had talked about this, that the pair that sold at Sotheby's earlier this year sold for $560,000. And then I had told you that there was a group of Jordan sneakers that was going up at auction at Christie's, which those one pair just sold, and it was an exhibition pair from 1985, and it sold for $615,000. So it topped the other pair. One of a kind. What made these unique is that it has a shard of glass embedded in the sole of the left shoe, and that was as a result of Jordan shattering the glass backboard with a forceful slam dunk. So that also helped not only date the piece, but also to add provenance to the piece and a little bit of history. So there was another pair of sneakers that I think sold in the auction, and they were of lesser significance, but they sold out. They sold for $112,000, $500. But sneakers, as we were saying, is they're becoming this big collectible.
Well,
and it'll be interesting to see where they go.
What's interesting about sneakers, and even though I find it unbelievable, but then again, I yes. find it just as unbelievable that somebody will pay like $9 million for a car. I mean, there's different unbelievables, but you would figure that how popular basketball is and how popular basketball shoes have become with the likes of Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq, Michael Jordan, yeah. Kobe Bryant, there's a shift in generations, okay? So there's obviously there's things that yep. come up that 25 years ago you would laugh about. I mean, but now you don't laugh about it because you have so many people that helped create the NBA to what it is now. That I mean, the provenance that you say that goes with that is amazing.
And here's the interesting thing is when you think about it, and you name a number of those, and then you think about, well, what about LeBron James and what about his shoes now? Should we be collecting those? Well, you know, if there are certain things, but you have to remember this was also an era when Nike started the Air Jordans. I mean, had these shoes named after this particular player because of his incredible abilities on the court. So that also plays into the not only the desirability, but also the collectability of the shoes. And I think that's what also drives the whole market. But you know, it becomes a speculator's game. Well, do we start hiding? Oh, and we're not far from the bubble here in Orlando, Greg. We need to drive up there, sneak on there, and get into the locker room and steal some shoes. I mean, borrow some shoes.
Well, who was?
I guess you just have to get there. You'll know where they are. You just follow your nose.
They're going to be big enough. I think we'll know that they are.
Remember when somebody stole Tom Brady's jersey after he won the Super Bowl from the cleaning thing? Finally, a year and a half later, but that they found the jersey and got it back. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just a society that we live in. You know what I'm waiting to see is Shaquille O'Neal, who's so popular now, more popular now than he was in the league because he's such a playful, nice guy, so popular that Papa John's, who was run by an idiot, I'll say, yep. who tried to run his own company into the ground, he's so popular they brought him up. I'm waiting to see, like, in 10 or 15 years, how many people have those pizza boxes that have the video thing in them, because they're going to be worth money one day. They are.
Yeah. It's those sort of things that drive the whole collectibles field, because it becomes part of their persona. It becomes part of the celebrity, and that's what drives collectibles. And you're exactly right.
It's nice when it's done like Shaquille's doing what he's doing because he's now a member of the board, which is this company made. It was an ingenious decision to change their total attitude, but to bring him on board. But he's not doing it. That's a great thing about it also. Sometimes when celebrities do things not to make a huge amount of money for themselves, it turns out that sooner or later that whatever they touch turns to gold. Really?
Yeah.
Well I think
in it too. I mean,
I think that Shaquille isn't a perfect example of, you don't have to be an a-hole in order to get ahead and to really to make your mark. And you can really, it really brings to the fore the old saying that you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And he's such a larger than life personality, and his whole persona is so gentle. And so he has such a terrific sense of humor, and he does so much philanthropically that I think his star has been on the ascension for such a long time that it's going to become a comet very soon, because it is just, he's just one of those rarefied celebrities who really knows who he is and doesn't really seemed to stray from his personality. So I mean,
he's got a lot of people who follow him, and just really, I think he's just very charismatic too, and just very likable.
All right. Well, we got about a minute or two left. Anything else that we can hit in the next minute or so?
Well, let's see. I'm actually going to be starting working on my new podcast, which in my latest one, and of course, since I had my little health scare a couple of weeks ago, everything is going to be geared toward heart healthy, and I will be working with my co-host on talking about all things heart healthy, as far as foods to eat, ways to prepare them, and not lose the flavor just because it's heart healthy. And I'll be posting on my website, thesilverchef.net, recipes that are all going to be heart healthy, and articles from the American Heart Association. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
You know what's great about that? Yeah. Remember the Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr?
I do.
Well, he did, of course, his original shows. And then he came back, it was about 15 years ago, where he did a whole series of the same shows. He did them over, but with heart-healthy recipes. And it was an amazing thing to see that he could do just about the same thing, making them heart healthy, as when he made them with all the butter and salt and stuff like that.
Right.
so you'll be the next Galloping Gourmet.
he's Greg is my Galloping Gourmet. I'll tell you that. It's all good. And I'm working on a virtual appraisal with a colleague in Vail, Colorado. So she's been going through the house. It's an estate, so nobody is there, and she's doing all the measuring. I'm doing all the inventory and all of that, and she's taking photographs. So it's been a good teamwork. It's really worked really well. So it's amazing how we just kind of make things work in this environment. And there's ways around it. There's just ways around it. And she told me, she said that they're having all these wildfires and it's really difficult to breathe out there. And I just thought, oh, goodness, there's no way that I'd be able to be out there anyway because with that kind of air quality with my asthma. So it works out. So things work out.
All right, guys, be safe. Have fun the next week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey,
okay, have a great week.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Tim Luke and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, TQAG.com on the web with Appraise This.